It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Finally, this hour, I want to look at the weather, how our crops are holding up under these drenching rains that we've had in many parts of the state over the past few days. Elwin Taylor joins me now, climatologist and agriculture meteorologist at Iowa State University. Welcome back to our program, Elwin.
Good to be with you. And speaking of rain and River to River, it is raining on the West River and the East River sides of Iowa at the present time, but not here in the middle. We're just looking at the smoke from Canada.
Okay, we're kind of sandwiched by rain. Very good. Elwin, give us a picture of the weather. What's been happening over the past few days that we've seen so much rain across our state in the Midwest?
Well, we've had a couple of things. First, a very strong flow of moist air from the Gulf of Mexico. Well, that's where 80% of our moisture that falls in the Midwest comes from, and it's been stronger than average. And then mix that together with a few disturbances that can cause it to rain, and here we are with a great 10 times as many flood warnings in Oklahoma, for example, as they usually have in any year, and when year is half over. And so it has been something all the way from Texas, part of that because of a tropical storm remnant, and part of it just because of other disturbances, along with the moist air being brought into the state. Mm-hmm. Right now, that moist air from the Gulf of Mexico is not entering Iowa. It is getting to Missouri and then heading up the Ohio River Valley.
Mm-hmm. Elwin, I understand you've been out in some of Iowa's fields affected by the rains. How do things look out there where you've been?
Well, where there's water, there's crops dying. We just assume that if the crops stand in water for 3 days, you've lost that plant and all those plants in that area. And, of course, the older farmers say to have a record yield, you have to have some loss of crop down in where the potholes form and where they flood. So their idea being that, yes, all that rain is damaging to the lowland, but the upland does better than usual and more than compensates. Well, not on every farm, but for the state, they may be right.
Interesting. Is this unusual at all, this amount of rain in this pattern for this time of year?
Well, yes, but then again, we've had one place during the past week, that would be Perry, Iowa Station, set a heaviest rain event in a 24-hour period that they have on record. But that's the only one that I've...
Do you recall what that was? How much came down?
It was about 5.5 inches, maybe just shy of that. And other places have had more than 8 inches, but not during this past week. You know, their record's up around 8 or 9 inches at a location. Right. So it wasn't really a record breaker in too many places, but overall it brought us back to the reality that Iowa can be wet.
Indeed. Now, let's talk about something going on north of our U.S. border, that has been affecting, if you've been looking at the sun and the moon. I noticed it yesterday, especially with the sun sort of setting. We've got a real haze out there, and I understand this is due a bit from wildfires in Canada and the smoke pouring in down here to the south in Minnesota, the Dakotas, and here in Iowa.
Yes, more than 100 wildfires going on up there in Alberta and Saskatchewan, and many of them caused by lightning. They hope all of them caused by lightning. But these storms have come through with lightning on dry countryside. And so there's a lot of wildfires going on. Colorado Rocky Mountain High that we used to hear about in the songs, clockwise flow of air around it. Low pressure over the Great Lakes, counterclockwise flow of air, funnel from Canada to Iowa, and down comes the smoke and directly right down that pattern. And, well, before we even noticed, most people, that the sun was a little bit orange, people were saying, I smell smoke in the air. Indeed, they did.
Mm-hmm. Does that change our weather significantly or at all?
Weather has a different definition to different people. If you're allergic to smoke from fires, it changes it a great deal for you. As far as for the crops, we don't think it will have a significant impact for people's health. That depends on the individual. We don't think it's the worst case. We've had worse days with smoke when we had fires in Iowa, a little closer to home.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about this, Elwin. a new report by the British medical journal, The Lancet. It's a report out in the last few days that analyzes the health effects of recent episodes of severe weather that scientists have linked to climate change. And one of the main thrust of it, I guess, is that more people will be exposed to floods, droughts, heat waves, and other extreme weather associated with climate change over the next century than previously thought. What is the thinking about this revision?
Well, I think we're just learning a little bit more about what's happening to our climate as we go along, and we need to make some assessment of it, and I'm glad that there are people taking a look at the human health aspect, whereas someone over here in my office mostly just looks at human food aspect rather than our health in general. Thank goodness we've got people that look at all aspects of this, and I think that they do have a good point. Some of these comments, such as we will experience three times as many droughts during any given 10 years during the next, I guess, century as we did during the 1990s. Well, for the Corn Belt, we had no droughts in the 1990s. So that was a pretty safe statement, even if the climate doesn't change. Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful of these things.
Mm-hmm. As our climate science firms up, or tell us, what's the best that we know about how the Midwest will be changed by climate change?
Well, it's we know more about how the Midwest changes with the climate that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And we will likely, if we're going to have a Dust Bowl-type situation in the United States during this century, it will likely be during the next 15 years because Dust Bowls, according to history and tree rings, when we get back beyond written history, indicate that Dust Bowls are about 89 years apart. Our worst year for crops and people in the state of Iowa and Illinois was in the 1800s was 1847. The peak of bad things in the 1900s, 1936, 1847, 36, 2025. If the weather keeps doing what it's done for the past 400 or 500 years, and maybe climate change will shift that around.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, Elwin, I always enjoy when you talk a little bit about the global weather patterns as they affect us here in North America. Tell us what we've been seeing here in the first part of this year up to the present weeks that are affecting North America, perhaps a half global way.
Well, maybe the best thing to look at is this smoke that we're seeing right now, giving the sun that even midday orange tint and the change of the light characteristics, the sunsets being red and the sunrise being more red than we would expect under normal conditions, typical of smoke in the air. Why the fires up there? Well, we have an El Nino event going on. Let me explain this a little bit. El Nino takes place down off the west coast of equatorial South America and all the way across the Pacific to Australia. When the water is warmer than usual there, and then north of Australia colder than usual, we have what we call El Nino conditions. What this does is develop a low pressure where there's typically not pressure that low, and a high pressure where it would typically not be a high pressure. When it's La Nina, it does just the opposite. We get great high pressures and low pressures that persist for months, sometimes more than a year, in a place where they were not common to occur. This can shift where the other high and low pressures are. We already know that a high pressure tends to be sunny and dry around us, and low pressure tends to be cloudy and wet. If we've got the opposite because of something that happened clear down by the equator, then our weather has changed because of that. Well, we went through a wonderful time of years, six consecutive years of above average or above trend line corn yield in the U.S. Corn Belt. And people said, how could this be? Well, it was dominated by El Nino. During that same 6 years, Montana and adjacent Canada thought they were not going to be able to practice agriculture anymore. The drought was so bad. Well, that ended as we went to the second strongest La Nina, just the opposite effect down at the equator, and that brought us a drought in Texas that hadn't been seen since that type of thing since 1954, and it brought us a 2012 drought here in most of the Corn Belt. Well, that was our first drought since 1988 for the Corn Belt. And it was just that switch. Well, here we are again with an El Nino.
Okay.
And the El Nino likely to bring us a 70% chance of an above trend line crop for the Corn Belt this year, even with all the moisture we've had.
Okay.
And 70% chance of below trend wheat yield up there on the Canadian-U.S. border around Montana, and fires, and that's what happened.
Elwin Taylor, we're glad to have your eyes on our climate, on our weather, meteorologist at Iowa State University, climatologist. Quickly, before we have to go, we have 30 or 40 seconds. What's our holiday weekend weather likely to be?
Oh, with the rain around right now, we don't expect that to persist. Let's anticipate that for the 4th of July, we'll start off at 62 degrees. I'm talking about from Des Moines to Iowa City, and hitting a high of 80, a low of 65. Can't ask for much better than that for the 4th of July. I hope the forecast's right.
All right. I hope so, too, Elwin Taylor. How do you like to spend your 4th of July, by the way?
I like to spend it with the family, and if we've got some 4th of July fireworks, such as we have in Ames, usually around the campus, I'll spend it with my family watching those.
Okay, have a happy 4th, Elwin Taylor, and thank you so much for joining us for this segment.
Glad to be with you. I wish everyone the best.
Elwin Taylor, climatologist and ag meteorologist at Iowa State University. That brings to an end our program for today, River to River, produced by Emily Woodbury, Lindsay Moon, and Claire Roth. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. We'll be back tomorrow, Politics Wednesday. Of course, a lot in the hopper for Politics Wednesday. Chris Christie declaring his candidacy for the 2016 race. We'll talk about that. Plenty to talk about tomorrow on Politics Day. We'll hope you'll join us for our discussion. River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.